This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And you found The Morning Run with Lynn Mark Roshankanasan and Noel Lim. Good morning. We have lots more stories lined up for you today. And in about 10 minutes, we're diving into foreign labour issues with analysis from Kor Yew Ling, independent political economist with Sergi Enam Advisors. But before that, we're taking a look at the aviation sector. Because if you ask most people, they'd say 2020 isn't exactly the best time to be in the aviation industry.
No, and we asked actually you guys on Twitter, have you taken a flight during this pandemic? If you haven't, would you? 11% said yes for leisure, 13% said yes for work, 8% for family reasons, and a whopping 68% said no. Now, it's not surprising. When we take a look at it, we see that the International Air Transport Association, more commonly known as IATA, does not expect air travel to return to pre-COVID levels until 2024. In Malaysia, the parent company of Malaysia Airlines says it's unlikely to be able to make payments owed after November unless it receives more funding. And across the world, in the US, American Airlines and United Airlines have started massive layoffs after the two carriers reportedly slashing about 32,000 jobs between them.
So today we're doing a check-in on the airline industry, and to join us with some insight is James Teo, a transport analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence. James, thank you for joining us. Now, in the US, Congress gave a $50 billion bailout to airlines, provided they agreed to no involuntary job cuts and through the end of September. Now that it's October, United and American Airlines are starting to furlough over 30,000 workers. Do you see a light at the end of the tunnel for this industry?
Hi, morning. Yes, I think that, you know, there's still a light at the end of the tunnel, but this will take a few years, as you mentioned as well. The IATA's forecast is that traffic in RPK or revenue per kilometers terms will take until 2024 to return to pre-COVID levels. But I think, you know, what we need to understand is that it's not going to be a straight line, you know, from here, you know, to 2024. It's not a straight line recovery. It's going to be a lot of ups and downs. And we already saw some regression in traffic numbers, for example, in domestic Australia in the recent month of August, where we saw domestic Australian traffic actually took a hit and, you know, regress because of the upsurge in virus cases again, particularly in the state of Victoria. So I think that's the key takeaway here. It's not a smooth sailing, you know, straight line recovery, but a slow one, and it's going to be a bumpy one.
Given that it is bumpy, if the pandemic continues in its current trajectory, up and down and maybe up for a while, do you expect most airline companies might close shop by the end of this year?
Well, I think that a lot of airlines will need some form of external support, and we've seen quite a number of them receiving it already, whether it's from the state, from the governments of their respective countries, or some, like in the case of Virgin Australia, it was rejected. It was not given state support, and it had to undergo voluntary administration, and eventually Bain Capital bought it over, you know, restructured it, and they're going to shrink it down in size and operate it in a different manner than it was before, much smaller scale to kind of match with the new demand environment as well. So I think, yes, pretty much all the airlines will need some form of external help. But it could be from the government, it could be from existing shareholders or new shareholders that might, investors that might want to invest in these airlines because they still believe in the long-term future. So I see that's how things might play out.
Given that Virgin example, so maybe you expect that the national carriers will be protected, but maybe the secondary carrier may not get state support?
I think there will be a balance because governments will want to maintain some form of competition as well. So they wouldn't want, you know, in a post-COVID environment where it's only one airline that's dominating the entire country. So in all cases, I think, you know, investors as well, why would Bain want to invest in Virgin Australia? Because they feel like, hey, this market is big enough for two airlines or even more. So, you know, if Qantas is going to survive, then, you know, I believe that I can invest in another airline and, you know, operate it profitably as well. And that's why they would be willing to go in.
Now, James, that Bain example you used and the Virgin example there, what kind you cited things like restructuring of it, making it smaller. Is that the future of the airline industry following this disruption from the pandemic? Are we going to see more regional focused players or more locally focused players? What, can you give us a picture of what that could look like?
Yes, indeed. I think a lot of airlines, including Cathay Pacific, have said that they are undergoing a very deep structural review to look at what the future demand will look like, and they got to match that demand, right? So one thing we know is that international travel demand is going to be recovering a lot slower. So long haul versus short haul, I think, as you rightly mentioned, regional or short haul travel will recover a lot faster. And so, you know, the kind of airplanes, the routes that you're going to fly, so it's going to be very different. And if you are primarily a long-haul carrier like Cathay, you got to think about how you're going to restructure your fleet, your aircraft types, your staffing, your routes, and all that. So that is what we see. And eventually, yeah, there will be a shrinkage, at least for the initial years, right, until you get back to pre-COVID levels, which IATA expects only in 2024. Before then, you'll need to shrink in size, and that will help you to cut down in costs and hopefully return to profitability a lot quicker.
And who do you think would be some of the biggest losers here? Some of the biggest names we know now or the smaller players?
I think that the ones with the most international traffic exposure will be the most at risk. But like I said, they are also very actively trying to restructure their business. So they know that if they continue to rely on long-haul international, that's going to be gone for quite a while. And so you have to restructure and rethink how to capture that new market, which will, I think, the demand will shift from a lot of international long-haul travel to short-haul regional. There's a lot of pent-up demand. People still want to go on holidays. Maybe business trips might take a little hit, and not people may not travel as much as before, especially with Zoom and all these video conferencing technologies. So how do you adapt to the future? So I think, yeah, the more you rely on international long-haul, the more you're at risk, but you can restructure and change the focus to adapt to the new environment.
So James, speaking of restructuring and seeking external funds, as you mentioned, we've also seen various airlines trying to create more ancillary income. Singapore Airlines, for example, has turned its A380 planes into restaurants after scrapping its flights to nowhere. And in the US, some airlines are also mortgaging their mileage programs. But will any of these efforts realistically make a dent in trying to offset losses for the rest of the year?
Well, if you mortgage your frequent flyer program, you can only do it once, right? You have only that much miles and assets to be able to mortgage and gain some one-time cash to help you survive. And if you operate those restaurants, you know, usually it's only like one or two flights, and flights to nowhere, that kind of thing. It's just very, very small number of flights compared to the hundreds that you are canceling a day. So I would say it's a very small dent, or in the case of the frequent flyer, it's a big chunk of cash, but it's just a one time. So you really need to do other things like the deep restructuring that I was talking about. That is really key to sustaining the business and making it sustainable.
Speaking about restructuring, Malaysia Airlines, which was already struggling pre-COVID-19 and has been doing a few rounds of restructuring, what realistically is the best way forward for Malaysia Airlines?
I would say they also need to take a deep look at the fleet as well as the operations in terms of what kind of network that they want to fly in the future. So I think that's the same restructuring review that we see at all the different airlines, whether, you know, Cathay, Singapore Airlines, and I think they need to do the same review as well.
Thank you for speaking with us this morning, James. That was James Teo with Bloomberg Intelligence, giving us some insight into aviation, which has been one of the industries hardest hit by the global pandemic. And he was talking there at the end about Malaysia Airlines, which, as you said, Noel, was struggling for quite a long time, even before COVID-19 came into the picture. So one wonders, you know, how long nostalgia and national identity can carry that carrier forward.
I think the bigger conversation here is whether the pandemic has handicapped or kneecapped globalization, global travel, right? That's mm-hmm. That's the thing I'm paying attention to in particular, and how we restructure based on that. Do we stop paying attention to the Western world and the US dollar and start focusing on regional tourism hotspots going forward? Because the aviation industry needs to restructure itself. Bain Capital obviously sees some form of future there, which is they're not simply going in. Maybe they'll, I don't know, PE funds then again have a different sort of strategy when they go into these businesses. But it has to be restructured going forward, the industry as a whole.
Yeah, so I think we see like Singapore Airlines, they've turned their A380 planes into restaurants. I think Thai Airlines also make a killing selling some food items. And also Air Asia, they've started Santan restaurants. They're going to grow that. They're also investing in digital initiatives. While this is not likely to save the airlines or make a huge profit for them in the immediate term, but I think what it does is that it sort of shores up morale, right? It keeps people busy. Like they say, idle minds are the devil's workshop. So I think it's one way to just kind of like keep people doing something so that they don't feel so down and you know, so worried about their jobs.
Cushion their landing a little bit, so to speak. But now we're heading into some messages. And then up next, we're going to be diving into the US ban on imports from FGV with analysis from Ko Yu Ling, political economist at Sugi Unnam Advisors. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.